that every moment of your being is intended to be a pursuit of the glory of God. To live with Him in a way that praises Him, honors Him, trusts Him, obeys Him, submits to Him in every area of life.
Ambition is often associated with the excessive kind that leads people to step all over others on the way to the top. But the Bible speaks of a pure ambition that seeks only to please God. And today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will highlight it as he continues our study in the Beatitudes titled, What Would Jesus Say About Your Heart? And Don, Matthew 5:8 features the blessing to the pure in heart. We'll need to get a working definition of that term.
Well, sure thing, Bill. You know, my friend, most people think about the idea of purity of heart as referring to something related to physical purity. But as Jesus is using it in our text today, the meaning is far greater and far more important than even that. He's referring to having a sincere and transparent heart before God and before man. In other words, he's calling us away from hypocrisy and to be sincere in all of our interactions. And that is an even higher standard than sexual purity. Ultimately, it humbles us, and it makes us look to Christ yet again for forgiveness and grace.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's get started now in the Truth Pulpit.
A little word of introduction here that I would have you understand. What we want to do in this message today is make a special effort to let Scripture interpret Scripture. So we're going to go to a few different passages to help us see the full significance of what Jesus is saying. All of the Word of God comes from God. It is a perfectly unified and consistent work. And so that as we look at other passages, we let Scripture interpret it and help us to understand what Christ was saying in this great beatitude. And so with that, we're going to break this message down along three lines. And the first thing that I want to show to you is the necessity of a pure heart. The necessity of a pure heart. We'll lay that out briefly, and then we'll look at what it means to have a pure heart. And then we'll see what the great reward is for a pure heart. The necessity, the meaning, and the reward of a pure heart. So first of all, the necessity of a pure heart. What I want you to see is that a pure heart is necessary in the sense that Jesus here is once again making an absolutely exclusive statement. Only the kind of people that he is describing in this verse will ever see God. Ever see God in glory, ever see God in a reconciled sense to him. He says, look at verse 8 with me again. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The sense of the original language in the Greek is they and they alone. It is an extremely emphatic statement. They are the ones who will see God. Everyone else will be lost in their sins. Everyone else will face an eternity of destruction in the lake of fire. Everyone else will be separated and feel the judgment and the fury and the wrath of God on their sinful rebellion against Him. So the stakes are high here. The groups are exclusive. And as you hear what we're going to see from Jesus, what you need to see, you need to be asking yourself, am I in this group that has this one pure ambition? Is this what my heart is like? If it is, praise God, because the promises that Christ makes to you, which are unbreakable, that cannot be violated, the promises to you are lovely. For those of you who say, my heart isn't like this, my heart does not have this kind of ambition, you need to realize that Christ is laying out to you what the stakes are. And that to be in that position is to be in a place of great vulnerability before an omnipotent, holy God. And so this matter of a pure heart is extremely, extremely vital. It's necessary. Let's look at Psalm 24, just to kind of give us a little sense of perspective, a couple of passages that we want to look at. Psalm 24 on the necessity of a pure heart. You see, God does not suffer fools. God does not just willy-nilly receive people who have never given any thought to His holiness, never had any desire for His kingdom. And then when it comes time for people to go to heaven or go to hell, say, yeah, you had no desire for me. That's okay. Come on in. God does not work that way. You know, there are billions of people in the world that are assuming that He does, that they can die without any having spent any regard for Christ, and that they can die and the big man upstairs will welcome them into heaven. That is just not the case. And Scripture makes that point again and again and again. And Jesus is making that point as we look at His word here. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? Who can be in the presence of God? Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Jesus says, if you want to see, Scripture says, if you want to see God, you have to have a pure heart. There is no room for a heart that loves deception, that loves sin, that is indifferent to God, indifferent to His holiness, and pushes aside Christ and wants nothing to do with Him. A person like that has no place in God's kingdom. You are not going to heaven, and you are not right with God, and you are in a place of great danger if that's you. Because Scripture says it so plainly. And as I've said many times, I'm going to say it many, many more times again, in the Sermon on the Mount, beloved, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends who are here that do not know Christ, when Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, you must understand something really crucial. He is teaching for keeps. He means what He says. This is not a trifling matter. Jesus says this, and He is sincere, and He means it, and He will enforce it on the day of judgment. And so don't make the mistake of thinking, yeah, you know what? Christ is just like all of us and we don't really mean what we say. You know, politicians make promises and everybody knows that there's no significance to them. We all understand that. People make vows in marriage and set them aside with when the next great thing comes along in their life. And we get that. We get that the word of man is practically meaningless. Understand that the word of Christ is not like that. The word of God cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is teaching for keeps. He's earnest. He's serious. Teaching about the most significant of eternal matters. And so it's incumbent upon us to hear and listen what He says. He says, only those who have a pure heart will enter into heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 14. The writer of Hebrews says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Are you in the process of sanctification since you made a claim to Christ? True justification leads inexorably to true sanctification. That declaration of righteousness leads to a process by which you are increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. If you are not on the path of sanctification, there is no reason whatsoever to think that you have anything to do with the reality of being reconciled to God. That's what Scripture is saying to us. You see, beloved, coming back to a really fundamental principle, God is holy. God is set apart, and He is a God of infinite moral purity and righteousness and justice. And as a result of that, only those who share in that holiness can be with Him. To be foreign to that holiness, to be foreign of even a desire for that holiness, is to say, I'm not a part of this kingdom. I must still belong to the kingdom of the world, which is the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of destruction. Those are the only two choices. See, and Jesus, when He says, blessed are the pure in heart, is talking about what is the inner drive of your being? What is the motivation, the ambition, the desire of your heart? What is it? Well, that leads us to our second point. We've seen that it's utterly necessary. Jesus is speaking in completely exclusive terms. And so it becomes very important that if only people like this are going to be with God in the end and be able to see Him, it is essential for us to know what that means. What does it mean when Jesus says, those who are pure in heart? Well, let me gladly step you back a little bit from some of the man-centered perspectives that you can accumulate kind of like crud on a shelf as you go through evangelical churches over the past few decades. And purity is simply reduced to a matter of sexual purity. When many people in the church think of purity, that's what they think, and they think in that limited term. Matters of sensual purity, and everybody feels guilty because they're not measuring up to it, and it's limited to that narrow focus, just like everything else in culture drives us to sensual matters, and now the church just joins in and makes us think about that narrow category when we think about purity. Well, let me say something. That's an element of what Jesus says, but it's a sliver of it. That is not the main point that Jesus is making here at all. Jesus is talking about something far more expansive, far greater, far more significant than that one aspect of physical life. And you must understand this, because if you approach it thinking that that's all that Jesus is talking about, you're going to neglect the fullness of what He intends to be said to your heart here today. And to realize the vast authority that He asserts over your inner man. You must understand this, that what Jesus is talking about here in the pure in heart is something that is a comprehensive statement about who you are in your desires, your affections, your motivations, and in your will. It's comprehensive of your entire approach to life in all of its detail. And so don't just think about the limited way that family-oriented ministries teach you to think about this matter. We want to think biblically. And to address it from this perspective that Jesus has. This phrase, pure in heart, includes that narrow matter, but it goes so far beyond it. Let me explain. The idea of purity, when you think about it, we use the word purity in the way that Jesus means it here as well. We can talk about pure water that is free from contaminants, that's safe to drink. There's nothing mixed into that water that would prove to be harmful. Or you could talk about a metal that is free from impurities. Talk about pure gold as opposed to that which has mixtures of foreign elements in it. And so what Jesus is talking about here is not so much a sexual purity, but rather He is talking about a heart that is unmixed in its devotion to Him. That is not tainted by foreign elements of loving sin, loving the world in a way that would push Him back to second place in your affections. Jesus is calling you to an unmixed purity of devotion to Him. And here's the thing, beloved. Your pure desire, your simple purpose in life must be to walk with the God of truth in His truth. That is the supreme ambition. That is the pure ambition to which Christ calls you. That you would want all of your life to come under His authority and be pleasing to Him. That's the standard. You say, but if I think about that, that means everything's on the table. Exactly. See, that's the point. You know, you mean my marriage is on the table in this when it talks about pure in heart. Yeah, that's exactly what it says. The way I deal with my children, the way that I deal with work, the way that I respond to God's word, all of that's on the table here. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Your unmixed desire must be to walk with the truth who is Christ, under the authority of the Word of God. And let me help you see that from a few other scriptures here today as we're talking right now about the meaning of a pure heart. Look at Psalm 86. And as you're turning there to Psalm 86, what this theme does for us is it just really helps us see how careless we tend to be in our spiritual life. You know, we tolerate pockets of sin. We tolerate the fact that we have a foul mouth or we have different things going on in our hearts and we really don't care and we don't ever address it because it's just not that important to us. Well, what this passage of Scripture does is it opens up and Jesus says, I'm teaching for keeps and that's not okay. Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12. David says as he writes this psalm, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. He says, God, join my heart together. I pray that you would bring my heart together so it would have a pure, unmixed devotion to you. And with all of my heart, I'm going to look at every aspect of my life and I'm going to bow and give praise to you. It's an unmixed desire to live in a response of gratitude to God in every area of life. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, kind of flipping back and forth between the Old and New Testaments. 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 31. Really, in a wonderful way, bringing this together for us to see what the meaning of a pure heart is. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There is this comprehensive approach to life that recognizes, beloved, that recognizes that every moment of your being is intended to be a pursuit of the glory of God. To live with Him in a way that praises Him, honors Him, trusts Him, obeys Him, submits to Him in every area of life. Can there be anything more mundane than the acts of eating and drinking? Anything more that we take for granted in a country with our prosperity than being able to do this, to be able to eat and to drink? And yet Paul goes to those most mundane elements and says, this is where I want you to glorify God. And so we see that this is a comprehensive approach to life, and that you don't discharge this duty by being in this room once a week on Sunday morning. And then you just go on and you live life any way that you want to, with a complete disregard to God's word or the presence of Christ or any of those things. You see, Scripture presents this as a comprehensive approach to life, not something that you just check off a box on the first day of the week. And so when Jesus talks about the man who is pure in heart, he's talking about this. He's referring to a man who is utterly sincere in the presence of God. A man who says, there are no hidden pockets in my life, O God, that I would withhold from your authority or in which I would withhold my obedience. There's no part of my heart that I will withhold from giving you praise and honor. I won't resent you for the outworking of your providence in my life. I'll let go of the vain regrets of my past. And I'm just going to gather all of this up and have a single-minded focus that gives you thanks, that honors you, and gives you the praise that you deserve. Let's look at it from a different perspective. Different way of approaching the same basic principle. This is a man who hates hypocrisy. This is a man who would not tolerate the idea of saying that he believed one thing and then living a completely different way. That hypocrisy is not pure. That is not honorable. It is to have a divided heart that says, I'll put one face forward before men in this realm and I'll live differently privately, or I'll be a chameleon, a spiritual chameleon. There's plenty of those to go around. Those who simply adapt themselves to whatever environment they're in. They can be with sinners and want to become like them and just fit in with all of the foul-mouthed vulgarity. And yet, same person, when he enters into the presence of worship with the saints, can pretend that he's like that and that that's what he loves. Understand that that hypocrisy, of which I'm sure in a room of this size many of you are guilty of, understand that that is completely foreign, alien, and hostile to what Jesus is talking about here. You see, there's no room for that double-minded man. James speaks about that, doesn't he? In James chapter 1, he says, don't let a double-minded man think that he's going to receive any blessing from God. And so we step back with sympathy and yet with clarity. I say to you, do you realize how desperately wicked your hypocrisy is? Do you realize how foreign it is to what Jesus speaks here? That you cannot be that way. This man, the man who is pure in heart, hates hypocrisy. He hates deceit. Simple enough, right? In principle. But let's ask ourselves a question. Who is really like that anyway? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am purer from my sin? This verse, this biblical topic, brings us into a realm that exposes to us our utter spiritual poverty. It brings us to the fact that even as believers, I can't claim perfection on this standard. The implied answer to that question from Proverbs is no one is like this. That's not okay. Because Jesus is teaching for keeps. He means what he says. And so this beatitude sets an aspiration for us, and yet simultaneously it brings us back to our poverty of spirit. What are we to say to these things? What's the meaning of the pure heart in the way that it works out? For the unbeliever, for those of you that are not Christians and you know it, the Spirit of God is convicting you of it. Say, you know what, I have no desire for these things, but now I realize it's an issue. And the Spirit of God has put his finger on your heart and said, you're the man, you're the woman. For you, what this exposes to you is that you need to be born again. You cannot make yourself like this in your unregenerate state. You must come to Christ to be saved. You must cry out to him and say, I have a filthy, dirty, hypocritical heart that is completely foreign to what you said. Jesus, save me from my miserable condition. The wonderful promise of Christ is, he says, I'll gladly receive you. I will receive you and I will change you. Those of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. You need a new heart from God. What about those of us that are Christians? We feel the sting of conviction as believers. We realize that there's a sense in which our affections are sometimes still divided. As Paul said in Romans 7, I still recognize that there's a principle of evil within me. Your heart betrays you with doubt, with anger, with sin, with resentment, with retaliation, with lust. What would God's word say to you? Does that mean that none of us are pure in heart in the way of which Jesus speaks? Does it mean that we're all doomed to destruction? Will none of us ever get to see God? That's not what Jesus is saying here. Not in the fullness of Scripture. As we let Scripture interpret Scripture for us, you're here as a Christian and you realize, man, I that's what I want, but I fall short of it. What does that do? It casts you back on grace. It casts you back on the gospel. It casts you back on the Christ whose blood cleanses you from all sin. It casts you back on the Word of God and says, find your path forward in that state here.
It's not enough to give God 99% of your life and hold back even just 1% from Him. It's an all-or-nothing proposition, as Pastor Don Green has reminded us today on the Truth Pulpit. Don will look at the rewards of a pure heart on our next broadcast, as he concludes a message titled Pure Ambition. So join us then for the continuation of our series, What Would Jesus Say About Your Heart? Right now, Don's back here in studio, and he has a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
For directions and service times, just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also get ordering information on free CDs of Don's teaching. Again, that's all at thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.